Dr. Anthony Jordan heads the vaccination program here in Tamaki Makaurau. He's an immunologist as well. And it was neat to hear Rawiri Jansen say that Anthony and John and he, you know, had a bit of a stand-up out west at the Trust's arena as well. Anthony, I know that everyone is well-meaning in this space, but it's important that our whānau Māori see Māori men and women who are encouraging to get involved with the VAX program. And as we start our conversation too, just want to acknowledge our frontline staff who've been working so wonderfully and tirelessly, actually, to get the VAX out to people. It's great having you on the show again, Anthony. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. A really big shout out to all our frontline staff. They've really delivered, you know, amazing results for our whānau and our communities.
Have we plateaued and we need to put a further push on? What's your read of the lay of the land, mate?
I don't want it to plateau, is what I would say. I want it to continue to increase. And the reason for that is I want to ensure that that gap in our equity model continues to allow Māori and Pacifica as well to reach those rates earlier than just waiting for the end of the year.
There's a strong push on this week in particular. How are we going to, you know, get people to the clinics to get vaccinated? Now, even in seven prominent suburbs, to get tested, it seems a very tough goal because people are unlikely to get tested if they don't have symptoms, eh?
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult thing because obviously, you know, Level 4 affords us as a program the chance to reach out to people when they may be more available to get vaccinated. So we really want to make sure there's enough capacity and outreach, so getting out into those communities to make it as easy as possible for people. Around testing, yeah, I think, you know, asking people to be tested in those high prevalence areas where we've seen a number of cases come from is you know, us asking of those people to potentially do something they wouldn't usually do. And there may be a lot of stigma as well around that. And we've seen that earlier in the outbreak, that people may feel stigmatized by becoming a positive case. And so we need to be really supportive because these people are going out to do the right thing, you know, and they should be commended and celebrated for standing up and doing their part in the community rather than seeing it as a negative stigma upon them.
Thanks, Anthony. Where do you sit with the saliva testing regime? Are you frustrated at the delay in ratifying saliva testing, or is there still important work that needs to be done before we can say, yeah, it's a goer?
I think we just need to await the, and we talked about this before, await the final decision on saliva testing, how it can be best utilised. Obviously, saliva testing has some advantages in terms of not being a swab. Swabs aren't as enjoyable. And then the added aspect is potentially how we use rapid antigen testing in some situations as well. So there's a lot of options ahead of us. We just need to make sure that they're well placed in terms of the evidence and how they are best used.
Where are we on the investigation into establishing the evidence, whether they're good or not?
Pretty far down it, and there's probably reports about to be published on saliva tests. Rapid antigen tests are being looked at as we speak. A lot of this evidence obviously comes from overseas where it's been used. It's just establishing how we use it here in an Aotearoa context about how we best utilise that resource when it comes online.
So we've got the testing stations, we've got people, and I drive past some sometimes, who look as though they could accommodate more tests or vaxes. What are we doing to up the ante at what seems like a crucial time?
So, yes, I think we've definitely got the capacity at the moment to do both of those things. A part of what we need to do is make sure that we're in the right places, open at the right times, and also that we have the right messaging, because what we want to make sure, especially with testing, is that people know that we're there to support them regardless of what the test result is, especially if it's positive. And that's just what I want to reassure people, that we do have that wraparound support for people.
We're in lockdown for another week, but conceivably could be in for even longer unless the rates track in the way that we hope. How certain are you, or can you be at all certain, that you know, one more week will do the job and we can slip down a level? Businesses are being crippled.
Yeah, look, I'm very mindful of the economic impact of being under level four lockdown. I guess the thing that I always say is we just have to look at the numbers every day. And so although the numbers look really high yesterday, the thing I would say is the ability to link those to existing cases was probably the reassuring thing. So it means that we're sort of getting our arms around how this outbreak is happening. So that's really important. So we look at that every day, and I don't really make any calls on if it's a week or longer until I sort of look at that sort of daily report. Sounds cagey, I know, but that's kind of how you have to work with this.
Yeah, no, I understand. Supermarkets seem hot spots.
Yeah, I guess they, you got to just remember that the only places that people are going reliably are supermarkets. Everyone has to go to a supermarket to get food at the moment, so they may be overrepresented, but they may not necessarily be the route of transmission. It may actually still be that the predominant way that this is spreading is actually just people getting infected in households as part of the chain of transmission.
You're hoping for 220,000 vaccines over the week in Tamaki Makaurau. Where would that put us as far as a percentage of how many people have had a first dose, Anthony?
That would probably edge us just over 70% of first doses, for if we're talking an entire population.
Would you recommend people get their second dose quicker rather than waiting long periods between the two? Does it lose effectiveness if you get one a few weeks after the first?
Not really. I think that's why we've kind of left it open, saying you can have your second dose between 3 or 6 weeks. I guess what we had is when we wanted to prioritise first doses, by stretching that out to 6 weeks, it allowed us some more capacity. So do it when it's convenient, to be honest. Anywhere in that 3 to 6 week period is good for me.
Are there any, have there been any adverse reactions to the vax?
Yes, we know that there are side effects to all treatments, including vaccines. And CALM, who is the Centre for Adverse Reactions Monitoring, look at that, and they provide updates for everyone, meaning medical people as well as available to the public. In addition to that, we have something called the Independent Safety Monitoring Board that watches for signals in the data to make sure that we're not seeing anything that is unexpected or new.
The policy regarding visitors to hospitals has changed under these extreme circumstances. What would you say of that?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in particular, ADHB's listened to the feedback from its staff members and adjusted its policy on visitors. I would just say that when people are in hospital, it is really important that whānau can visit people. We just need to be able to do that in a safe and protected way, both for visitors but also for our staff.
What's the flow-on effect with the attention afforded the vaccination program, Anthony, to what were surgeries for other health issues and the like?
Reframe that for me, sorry.
People are awaiting surgeries, other medical procedures. The whole health sector seems dominated by the vaccination program, understandably, but what's the impact from your perspective on those awaiting other medical procedures?
Yeah, so the thing I would say is obviously every time we have an outbreak and we have a shift in levels, that does impair us to be able to deliver routine care, and then we have to play catch-up. That's not so much an impact of the vaccine program on routine care. It's more about how we're able to operate safely all of those other services. But remember, as we see vaccination rates increase, it affords us greater protection in the community so that we can continue to deliver that care safely. So I kind of think about them as complementary rather than in a tug of war, so to speak.
And that's fair enough. Hey, listen, thank you, Anthony. Yeah, it's comforting to know that we have Māori here as well who are in responsible positions, but also we need kai korero that can reflect the situation to us in our own way. And that's why I started off our korero by acknowledging you and John and Lauri standing collectively. And, you know, that would give people who might be a little hesitant or anxious some confidence that we're pushing ahead together. So keep up that good work, Anthony. I know it's a big gig. What you've got is the head of Auckland's vaccination program. But I'm pleased that, you know, one of our people are so prominent in that high-profile mahi. All the best with the work ahead.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thank you very much, eh?
Thanks, mate. All the best, Anthony. Kia ora.
Good pleasure.